on ktalk.co.za,
on the app,
on DSTV channel 885,
and across the city on 567 AM.
Well, time for Consumer Talk, and as I've mentioned, Wendy Nola is away today, so we've invited lawyer Trudy Brookman to join us in studio. Trudy is a highly experienced attorney, specialises in consumer law and issues involving the Consumer Protection Act in particular. Her firm also handles commercial and corporate law as well, but it's really the consumer stuff we focused on today. We are going to be talking a little bit about some advice ahead of Black Friday sales, and then later in the programme, taking a look at Dekra Motor reports as we put one under the spotlight that looks like it's not quite what the person thought they were getting. And as I always say, if you've got personal experience you'd like to share with us on these topics, if you'd like to ask a question, you are welcome to do so by calling us on 021 446 0567. You're also welcome to send a voice note to 0725671567. Judy, it's lovely to have you with us in person in studio for a change. Welcome.
It's amazing. I just love being here. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much for standing in so that Wendy could take some much needed time off. I hope she's having a fabulous time. At this time of year, I'm always reminded of that famous Rudyard Kipling poem and the line, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs," Trudy, because Black Friday is 2 days away. Something makes people lose their heads and take risks that they would never take in an ordinary shopping sense on a scale like never before. I guess you probably deal with the fallout every year.
I think we do. Sometimes it's not so clear where the rot started, but the truth is I can completely identify with what you say about Rudyard Kipling's quote. I'm also a consumer, and I've also been very keen on Black Friday deals. And because it's a newish thing in South Africa, I think the Americans may be a bit more slick and experienced on this front. We need to really focus on what the hell is going on here. Why are these goods being marked down? Is the markdown price really so much percent less than the original price? We need to, as consumers, figure this thing out and get our bearings with exactly what our rights are. When can I return if I'm unhappy? And for me, most of my Black Friday experience has been with online shopping.
Mine too.
I do not want to go and stand in a queue or wrestle people to get to some product in a shop.
The air fryer on the top shelf.
So I thought we should really think a little bit about online shopping and the pitfalls there as well.
Okay, great. Just to say, nothing against getting a good deal. I have bought stuff on Black Friday myself. I did buy an air fryer a few years ago that I got for 100,000 rand. And I'm still using very happily. So I know there are genuine good deals out there to be had, but there's also a lot of noise, Trudy, and there's a lot of stuff that pretends to be a good deal that actually isn't. Now, online shopping in particular comes with its own set of risks and also of legal requirements in terms of what you're allowed to do and not to in terms of returns. Can I ask one very broad question before we dive into those in detail? Does buying on sale come with any sort of different set of obligations from the Consumer Protection Act than buying on any other day of the year?
Not for consumers. So you have all the rights that you would normally have. For suppliers, there's one particular rule in the Act, which is quite an interesting one. It deals with bait marketing. And that's where you are, let's say, hanging out a bit of attractive bait for the consumers to draw them into your shop or onto your website. And maybe the bait disappears the moment that they look. You'll recall certain airlines who used to have those 99 rand specials, and I never saw them on the website, I can tell you, but I was on the website in response to the bait. So what the rule is with bait marketing is that the supplier, if they have limited stock of a particular markdown good, a good at a special price, they need to disclose that to you up front. So the consumer needs to know there are only 1,000 of these air fryers, or in my case, it was a bread machine. Yep. I'm also very happy with it still.
Yep.
But we only have so many of them available. They need to disclose that up front, explain exactly what the T's and C's are, if there's special conditions relating to the markdown goods. And the consumer, if they didn't, so if you come onto the website, walk into the shop and you find that the thing that you were coming to look for is sold out and it wasn't disclosed to you up front, then you can complain to the National Consumer Commission and a fine of up to 1 million can be slapped.
Gosh, That high? Okay. Has anybody been given one of those fines in South Africa, as far as you know?
Not a million rand. There's been, I think, 120,000 rand on a car dealership.
Okay.
And there there was an auction house that had a ghost auctions. They also got a hefty fine. So,
okay,
so no, the fines are real.
The fines do actually happen. Okay. Buying online, of course, you're not wasting your time getting into a car, driving, spending your petrol and your parking money to arrive at the store and find that the goods aren't there anymore, because one hopes the website's going to tell you straight away, sorry, there's no stock left. But buying online comes with a different set of rules in terms of what you are required to do if you want to return an item, Trudy. Won't you just remind us of those?
Yes. So let me first just spell out the biggest pitfall.
Yep.
Buying online and then never getting delivery and then trying to find that website again, seeing that there are no contact details, and voila, you've been scammed out of all your money.
Yeah.
That's my worst case scenario. Because even as a lawyer, I don't really know how to help you there. I'd refer you to SAPS and say that you must go and lay a charge, but often the website isn't even hosted in South Africa, so there's very little that SAPS can do. So that you need to be very careful of. And the way to guard against that is, before you buy anything on a website ever, check that they have a South African email address, a South African physical address, so that you can return, so that you can complain. So I think that's key.
It's such a good one, and particularly, I mean, the cyber criminals are just rubbing their hands in glee at the prospect of Black Friday. Trudy, I mean, if you're ever going to buy cautiously, buy on a platform even the large platforms are not perfect, and we've heard those cases in the past few weeks, but at least you know that if you're buying on a reputable, well-known platform, there is recourse if something goes wrong. If it's a one-stop pop-up website you've never heard of before, looking at prices that are too good to be true, chances are they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So take that very seriously.
So that's the non-delivery issue. What about the issue that the product comes and you either don't like it or there's something wrong with it?
Okay. So there are a few different rules about consumer returns. Consumers have the right to return goods and obtain a refund, and this is in terms of the Consumer Protection Act, if you didn't have a chance to inspect the goods before purchase. So that would almost always be the case with an online purchase, so you can make use of that. Also, if you have goods that are defective, you can return those within 6 months of delivery, whether you're buying online or in a normal shop. And if the goods that were supplied to you weren't the ones that you ordered, or you ordered based on a description or a sample or a photograph that was online, and the goods that are delivered don't fit the sample or the description when delivered, then you can also return the goods.
Okay.
So in all of these cases, you would have to return at your own expense, or you'd have to post the stuff back or courier the stuff back, except for defective goods that are returned within 6 months of delivery.
Okay, can I just interrupt? I know Wendy always says that 6 month delivery, and you have a choice of whether you want a replacement, a refund, or a repair. Does that apply to online purchases as well as those you've bought in store?
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Exactly. So you've got 6 months. If the product arrived and there was something wrong with it, you can send it back to them. It needs to be at their expense, and you can tell them, I want my money back, I want a replacement item that isn't defective. Or if you choose, you can let them repair it. But, I mean, I don't know many people who would take that option when the other two exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So usually one doesn't want that, but maybe you love the product or it's a special thing and you'd. You don't have a right to return if you've already disassembled the goods or altered them or permanently installed them or joined them to other goods or property. So keep that in the back of your mind. And you have no right to return if, for reasons of public health, a public regulation prohibits the return of those goods. We were all giggling in the office. I mean, maybe you'll think we're just teenagers, honestly. But we got an inquiry from a sex shop, and they had an objection from a consumer who wished to return a sex toy that she had purchased. And so they were inquiring from us whether they could refuse to take back sex toys. We said, yes, you can refuse to take back sex toys on hygiene.
Same as underwear. Right. There's big swimwear. There are big notices in every store saying you cannot return these items for that reason. That is, I think, a very reasonable expectation of hygiene in that case. Now, a very good question coming in on the WhatsApp line, and I know it is something you wanted to talk about, Trudy. What if I am duped and the price that I'm offered and the supposed saving I'm offered is not actually a deal at all? The person who's raising the question says they've been doing their homework. They know exactly what they want to buy on Black Friday and where they're going to get the best deal on it. But her comment is that there are so many places offering so-called deals that aren't deals at all. What recourse do consumers have?
This caller is an example to us all. Homework, homework, homework with the prices. So let me answer the question first. In terms of what the law says, the Consumer Protection Act says that the price for a good has to be fair, reasonable, and just. So if you are sold at an unfair, unreasonable, or unjust price, in principle, you can return the goods and get your money back. That might be a little bit of a process, though, and you'd probably need a lawyer to assist with that, because what the Act says is that you can go to court and that the judge can invalidate the transaction based on the unfair price. Sure. But one can certainly complain in terms of the Act. In terms of the type of homework that the caller is describing, that is just excellent stuff. And I think we just need to keep in the back of our minds that with online retailers, and this probably also applies, let me first talk about online retailers. Okay. Many of them, we think of them as a shop, but what they are is that often they are platforms for other suppliers to sell their products. So they're a type of intermediary. So if you look at Gumtree, we all know it's a whole lot of individuals selling their stuff on Gumtree. Yep. But actually, in terms of suppliers, it's often exactly the same thing with Takealot, Amazon, I think Loot, Superbalist. All of those guys have other suppliers who actually manufacture the goods or distribute the goods, who have a space on the online site.
Yep.
And what those guys can do is just in the weeks leading up to Black Friday, boost the prices of the products that they know they want to mark down. And then when Black Friday arrives, there's a 50% discount, 40%, 25% discount on the boosted price, which isn't the real price. So I really recommend that one start your homework earlier than today. But nevertheless, you can probably use a site like pricecheck.co.za to really look at other sites, because it's likely that that other site isn't going to mark it down, so they wouldn't have boosted the price. So really take a look across the market so that you can get the real market price for an item that you have in mind to buy.
We are talking to consumer lawyer Trudy Brookman. Starting with Black Friday advice, we're going to move on to a second topic after the 2:30 news headlines. But if you would like to share any pitfalls of Black Friday shopping that you have encountered, perhaps you've learned the hard way about some of the things that can go wrong, you're very welcome to share that experience. Or if you'd like to ask a question, you can do that as well by calling us on 021-446-0567 or sending a voice note to 072-567-1567. I'm just going to reiterate again, the cyber criminals are ready for you on Friday. Please, 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 whatever you do, don't share your PIN number, don't share your passwords, don't click on unsolicited links that are sent to you. Be very, very careful that the person you are dealing with is in fact who they say they are and are representing the platform you think they are representing. They are getting awfully good, Trudy, at disguising themselves and simulating the real deal, if I can put it that way. We are sadly seeing all too many cases of people who are being taken in by very, very slick fraudsters. The days, if I can just say anecdotally, the days of the badly worded, grammatically dodgy WhatsApp from the Nigerian syndicate trying to trick you, those are long gone, Trudy. The fraudsters have got really smart.
Yeah, I think so. I still get some emails with bad spelling.
Yes, okay, it's always a sure indicator, but do be careful of that. Now, you've touched on this already briefly, but just to recap, if you do fall for a scam or you believe you've been a victim of fraud around a Black Friday deal, reporting it is the police, if it's a criminal offence if you're a victim of fraud. But you also mentioned the National Consumer Commission. Can you report straight there, or do any processes have to happen first?
I'd go for both, yes. Okay. With regard to SAPs, I want to give you some practical tips, yep, because I can tell you now you're going to walk into SAPs, even a good one, a good branch, and then they're going to tell you this is a civil matter and they're not going to open a docket. So what you do then is that you ask to speak to the station commander or ask for their email. So even if you don't have the station commander's email address, you can figure out how it works because there's a standard format.
Yes.
So you insert the name of the station and then you add .sc, so for station commander, at saps.gov.za.
So the Mowbray station would be mowbray.sc at saps.
Exactly.
.org.za, did you say?
.gov.za.
I'm G-O-V. Writing that one down for future reference. That's such a good tip. Thank you. Okay.
Then, so that's the station commander's email address. Then you write a nice email to the station commander, Brigadier so-and-so or whatever. Remember that may be a woman as well. Draw the station commander's attention to National Instruction 3 of 2011. And indicate that you will report the commander and their station to the SAPS National Complaint Center if they continue to refuse to open a docket. So what this national instruction says is that SAPS are required to open a docket whenever a crime can be proven. So where you're dealing with fraud, that is a crime. It's not a civil matter, or not only a civil matter. There are also civil remedies, but it is a crime. And if you can prove that crime, then they have to open a docket. So, yeah, write to the station commander, ask them to open a docket. If they don't, tell them that you'll report them to the SAPS National Complaint Center, and if necessary, follow up on this email repeatedly. If you get no joy, report them to the Complaint Center, and there's an email online.
That's brilliant advice. So National Instruction 3 of 2011 is the golden phrase you want to quote in that email, and that's very handy about the formatting of the email address. Thank you for the tip, Judy. Okay, so that is if you are sadly caught out in a fraudulent transaction, which we hope isn't going to happen to anybody, but do know that that recourse is available. And then in terms of flagging it with the consumer commission as well, does one just simply go to their website and lodge a complaint or lodge a report? How does it work?
It's a complaint. You fill out the form. It's a page and a half form, so it's really pretty quick to respond to, and you can do that yourself. You don't need an attorney to assist. The website for the National Consumer Commission starts with THE, so it's www.THENCC,
the NCC,
National Consumer Commission, the NCC, and then I think it's .gov.za or .org.za, but it'll come up if you Google, and the complaint form is easily
accessible there.
Accessible.
Okay. The last thing to say before we leave Black Friday behind is that your own firm is actually offering a Black Friday special, Judy. And I wanted to mention it because I know that you're working already on several cases we've spoken about before, including the many, many people who've been struggling to release themselves from timeshare contracts, for example. If somebody is needing help with needing legal help on a case like this, it's a good time to reach out to you.
Yes, it's an excellent time. You need to do it before the end of November because that's the timing of our offer. We normally charge 7,000, just under 7,500 rand for timeshare cancellation, which is a bit less than your annual levy. Yeah. We're now charging 5,000 rand for timeshare cancellation. And we also assist a lot of clients who have contracted with Vacation Hub International or My Travolution or SA Reignite or Go Autis. They're all part of the same group of companies. And for that, we usually charge 3,100 rand. Now it's 2050. So there's a nice discount on both fronts. You will need to contact us. So email us, admin@brookman.co.za. And pay the deposit before the end of the month and then bob to your ankle.
Okay, so before the end of the month, because it is a designated Black Friday special that ends on the 30th of November. Before we go to news quickly, the last time we spoke to you were on several hundred cases that you'd handled and gotten people out of those contracts. What's the number at now, Trudy?
It's a little bit over 580.
Okay.
Consumers.
That tells you how much work there was to be done and probably still is to be done on those cases.
Kate Talk.
Consumer Talk.
WhatsApp on 072-567-1567.
Now, the next issue we want to talk about with our guest, Trudy Brookman. Once again, if you're just joining us, Trudy is a consumer lawyer. She is a specialist in the field of the Consumer Protection Act and all the rights that it guarantees to us as buyers. Very happy to have her with us standing in for Wendy Nola today. This next case, though, I'm really concerned about because several times over the years, both in Consumer Talk and in Car Talk, we have told listeners that if you are buying a secondhand car and you need reassurance about the condition of the car and its history, it's a really good idea to get that vehicle assessed by somebody like DEKRA to be assured that there aren't any hidden damages or defects. And reading this story, Trudy, it turns out that that might not be good enough as a guarantee of a car's history. Mm. Tell us about the case you're working on.
Okay, so I want to give you a bit of a headline. Mm. How to lose 178,000 Rand in 4 months on a car purchase.
Ouch.
So this is my client's story. He bought a 2014 Range Rover for his son from a King of Cars dealership in Boksburg. Now, there are four different King of Cars dealerships, okay, and I want to specify which one it is because I don't want to speak badly about any of the others. It's the one on Rand North Road that is the relevant one.
Okay.
He bought the Range Rover for just under 398,000, so let's call it 400,000 Rand. And that excludes all the finance charges, the interest and all of that. 4 months later, the son, for whom the vehicle had been bought, lost his car. He was paying the installments. So he took the vehicle back to the King of Cars dealership and asked whether they wouldn't take it back and sell it again. King of Cars refused. They said, no, we're not going to take it back unless we sell it on consignment for you. And the consumer wasn't keen on that and said, rather speak to We Buy Cars. In this time that the consumer had driven the car, he'd had it for 4 months and he'd put 2,500 kilometers on the clock.
Okay.
Replaced the battery, and otherwise the experience had been without incident for him.
Okay.
He speaks to We Buy Cars, and to his shock and amazement, he only gets an offer for 220,000 Rand.
That's almost half of what they bought it for.
Yes. Yeah. 178,000 Rand less in 4 months. And the reason for it was that We Buy Cars said that the Range Rover was in below average condition and that it had excessive overspray. So I've recently now, in the context of this, learned what overspray is.
Yep.
And it might be something that one wants to look out for if you're buying a secondhand car. It's where the initial car was sprayed a particular color, and where there's been repairs to the vehicle and it had to be resprayed, oversprayed, but the overspray goes over the lines. Okay. And where you look for this is when you open the car door, on the inside there, you see whether the line sits in the right place.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe hopefully a useful tip, but anyway. The overspray indicates sloppy repairs after an accident, according to We Buy Cars. So he's trying to work this out, so he takes it to the Land Rover agent. The Land Rover agents also offer him 220,000 Rand. They confirm the defects on the vehicle. And then in desperation, he takes it to DEKRA. The DEKRA report draws his attention to sanding, filler and overspray after an accident. So all of this indicates that there was quite a major accident. And what they say is that they have concerns over the structural integrity of the vehicle as its pillars have also been oversprayed. So those are the bits between the windows.
Yes.
And that where those have been damaged in an accident and then worked on, you possibly have structural loss in the vehicle. So there was also a pronounced oil leak that they pointed out, which the gentleman hadn't picked up himself. Maybe just, he's got a black garage floor or something.
I don't know. So both We Buy Cars and Range Rover go, hang on a second, there's been major repairs done to this car. It must have had some quite substantial damage. That came as a surprise to him because when he bought it, that had not been disclosed. Am I understanding correctly?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And the accident hadn't happened on his watch. He's even sent us an affidavit from his insurer to say he hasn't made any claims.
Okay, so he's had it for only 4 months. He's driven only 2,500 kilometers. He is adamant he has not inflicted that damage on the car, so it must have been there before he took ownership of the vehicle.
Yes.
Okay. So what is he, what are you, how are you challenging the situation? Because if that was the condition of the car when he bought it, he surely should not have paid 400,000 rand for it.
That sounds exactly right. And that's what we were thinking. So we wrote to the dealership to ask for a refund of the original purchase price. The dealership then sent us a very interesting letter back saying that they had purchased the vehicle from We Buy Cars and got a DECRA report with it. And that was a clean DECRA report, and they had worked on that basis in setting the price. So, I mean, we don't know about that, but so our DECRA report, which spoke about sanding, filler, overspray, oil leak, concerns about the structural integrity, versus a clean DECRA report, which they sent us, which came with We Buy Cars on the purchase. 4 months apart, 2,500 kilometers apart, it just didn't make sense. So our client looked into the whole story with We Buy Cars and DECRA and how that works, and he discovered that DECRA has an in-house branch at We Buy Cars. Okay. And there are basically two classes of cars that you can buy from We Buy Cars. There's an A class, and all of the A class vehicles come with a DECRA report, and that in-house DECRA writes those reports and issues them along with the car, and that's what clean report came from.
As a matter of interest, A class, and is the other one a B class, and that's something different, or what?
Yes, yeah. The B class then doesn't have a DECRA report, and they give those are the cheaper ones, and you have
footsteps.
A little bit less assurance.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, so no report. But in his case, he'd bought a category A class vehicle, so with a clear DECRA report. So. How does, okay, so obviously the substance of your investigation is what happened between those 4 months, or how is it that a vehicle that was ostensibly damaged was declared as not damaged in that original report?
Yes. So obviously there are certain outlying possibilities. Maybe our client is completely lying to us. It doesn't usually happen. I really don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. And he's provided us proof that he's not lying. It might be that there's a mistake that came in, but this isn't the only time that we've had a vehicle with two different DECRA reports over a short period of time. With our other matter, it's about 6 months apart, and there was a roadworthy, roadworthy DECRA pass. The client bought the vehicle, and it turned out to not have its VIN plate. Now, a VIN plate is, sorry about all the technical stuff, is a irremovable plate that sits in modern cars just on the inside of your windscreen where it connects up with an instrument panel.
Yeah.
And that VIN number is the unique number which identifies the vehicle, so that if it's been stolen, one can know, this is Trudy's car that was stolen
they
3 months ago. Let's return
plates,
it to
but
her.
You can't change the VIN number. Yeah,
there we go.
And it appears on your vehicle registration papers, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So that VIN number is removed on my client, Mr. Hartnick's vehicle. He bought it from Milnet and Nissan, and they say they didn't realize that the VIN number had been removed, or the VIN plate had been removed, but they've also not sorted it out for him. So
okay.
The initial DECRA report that passes the vehicle as being roadworthy indicates the VIN number. But there was no VIN number on the vehicle because the VIN plate has been removed. So to me, once again, there's a weird initial DECRA report that turned out to be completely unreliable. So the message that I want to put out to consumers is to say, I'm not speaking in specific terms, and I'm not saying that all DECRA reports are unreliable. But as consumers, I think we need to realize that a DECRA report is likely to only be reliable if you paid for it. And if you get it from a dealership, or you get it from We Buy Cars, or you get it from someone else, there is a chance that that DECRA report is not telling you the truth or not telling you the whole truth. And as consumers, we need to be really careful. What I would recommend is that if you want to buy a secondhand car and you want to get an independent evaluation of the vehicle's condition, sure, take it to DECRA, but you pay for it yourself.
And take it to an independent branch that's not attached to the place you're buying it from.
Exactly. Excellent advice. Yes. Okay. And what I would recommend, I mean, it helps being a woman sometimes. You can walk in and say, so if you were the guy who's actually evaluating your vehicle, the vehicle that you have your eye on, tell him if you had to recommend to your daughter whether she should buy this, what would you say to her? That's what I want to hear.
Okay. I can see we've got a caller who's phoned in who wants to share with us a quite similar experience, I believe. Greg in Pardon Eiland, good afternoon.
Hi, Pepper. I actually just wanted to...
Oh, we've just lost Greg's signal. Greg, I'm not sure if you're still there and have moved into a pocket of no signal, or if this is load shedding playing havoc with our lines again, but I'm going to put you back to my producer. Let's just see if we can get Greg to move around, and we'll try again to hear his story. I would like to hear very much what he has to say with us. And if anybody else listening is going, this has happened to me, or I've had a similar experience of two reports not matching up, and especially if you managed to get some resolution on the issue, tell us what you did, please. Let's try again. Greg, good afternoon.
Hi, Papa. I just wanted to share something similar. I purchased a car last year, May, from We Buy Cars in Montague Gardens.
Okay.
That was the Saturday afternoon. I got the car, checked it. It was a Category B. I looked at the DECRA. It said everything said roadworthy relevant. Right.
So it did have a DECRA report, and it said
it had a DECRA report, even though it was a Category B. Okay. There were a few things according to the DECRA report. A few things wrong, but everything else was really relevant. I then took the vehicle the Monday to get it roadworthy to DECRA in Montague Gardens, not far from where We Buy Cars are, and to my surprise, they found so many different problems with the vehicle. I didn't tell them where I bought the vehicle from. And needless to say, I got a quotation, and that was just over 38,000 rand that they wanted in repairs. I then took the vehicle back to We Buy Cars after I got that. And they said it's impossible. And I showed them both the DECRA reports. And it became quite messy, and eventually they took their car back, but I had to wait for my money quite a while.
Wow.
So there's something going on in my mind between DECRA, the in-house DECRA guys, because they buy cars left, right and center, and We Buy Cars. That's just my theory, and I'll never buy a vehicle from them again.
Greg, thank you for sharing it with us. Interestingly, we've got another caller on the line, and it's with a different motor sales platform. So I think important to hear if this is perhaps more of an industry-wide problem than just one specific branch. Edward in Mitchell's Plain, good afternoon. You've also had a similar experience.
Yes, good day to you. We purchased the car the end of Jan, and 9 months later, they can't get the car registered. And in the fourth month, where I asked them if it was a stolen car, and then they told us, yes, it's a recovered car. And just two weeks ago, we received an email from the CEO stating that they had worked with the bank, and the bank also phoned us. For the 9 months, we did 4,000 kilometers on the car. With the bank phoned us stating that they will purchase the car back from the bank, and a long story short, we lost out on our 50,000 rand deposit we gave them. And when I asked them what happened, because it's not our problem, we didn't go to buy a stolen car.
Yeah.
And according to them, the AA rates and AA rates cost them so much, so they charge us actually 76,000 for using the car for the 9 months.
And who was this purchased from, Edward?
From Getworth in Cape Town.
So it's a different platform to We Buy Cars. Okay, and yes. did you have no choice but to pay and let them keep your deposit?
Okay, they purchased the car back from the bank. The bank paid us back all our payments we made. But just coming back to the 50,000 deposit, I do understand we had the car for 9 months and we did about 4,000 kilometers. But we wanted the car. We loved the car. We lost the car and we lost our 50,000 rand deposit with it.
Edward, thank you for the call. Judy, does that sound like a fair offer that you have had the use of the car for 9 months, therefore you can't just get all of your money back? I mean, I think most reasonable people would say, all right, something maybe for the use of the car, but 76,000 rand for 4,000 kilometres is, yeah.
I'd like to work it out properly. We have had some vehicle matters where the person has had substantial use of the vehicle, and we work it out based on the devaluation of the vehicle, on the AA rate, and we do a sort of a composite calculation in the office. I'm not sure whether that'll get
to that specific amount.
50,000 that he's lost. We've actually in the office had the experience of two of our clients just in recent months reporting that vehicles that they'd purchased were repossessed by the recovered by SAPS at, for example, at a roadblock. So you're driving along happily, get stopped at a roadblock, and the vehicle, the one was a delivery vehicle, which was then taken by SAPS with its contents, and it was a huge mission. In both those cases, we've managed to recover the full purchase price from the dealership that sold the stolen, which turned out to be a stolen vehicle, to the consumer. So we've had in both cases, it happened fairly early on, like 2-3 months in. Yeah. 9 months is a little bit longer, but
not to do you out of business, Trudy, but it's awful to me that people had to seek and pay for a legal opinion and assistance in a case like this, because you would imagine if you made that phone call to the place you bought it from and said, hey, you sold me a stolen car, they should be bending over backwards to say, we're terribly sorry, it was a mistake, and here is your money back. Blocking them to the point that they have to seek a legal opinion.
You would think so, Pippa. You would think so. We also got the legal costs back in full, thankfully.
Okay.
So
good.
At least that. But I mean, honestly, that's also just fair. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I can see several callers phoning in, which tells me that this is a bigger problem than one or two individual cases. That clearly there seems to be a deeper issue here to look into.
Yes.
I know there is a motor industry ombud. Is something like this something that should be reported to them to look into if it is happening more broadly than we might think in the industry, perhaps?
Maybe it's a broader thing that could be reported to the ombud. I don't have huge trust in the motor industry ombud, and I don't recommend to clients that they take their matters to the ombud. I'll tell you why. The ombud issues an annual report every year, and a few years back they reported in their own annual report stats that in 60% of the cases they find for the dealership rather than for the consumer, and it's only consumers who report complaints to the to MIOSM, the motor industry ombud. So I'm not a huge fan, but what I can say to the consumer is that the AA has got a functionality on its website where you can type in, I think it's the VIN number or the engine number or something like that, and they give you an indication on of whether the police have an interest in the vehicle. So before you buy a vehicle, that's another check that you can do. Type in I think it's the VIN number on the AA website and just make sure that you're not buying a stolen vehicle.
That's very good advice indeed. Anything else in terms of sort of basic checks that you should be doing? I mean, I'm feeling very uncomfortable, Trudy, because I know that our advice has always been, we don't know what to look for. Go to an expert, take the car to a Decra and get a report to put your mind at ease. And very distressed by what I'm hearing you say. What else can we do as consumers if you are buying a secondhand car to protect ourselves?
I think we've covered what is possible. It's hard to it's a tricky industry in which to operate.
Yeah.
But there is proper legal recourse if things goes things go pear-shaped. So the Consumer Protection Act is written for second-hand car purchases. Yep. It applies fully. And if things come unstuck, or you realize, oh, I've bought a lemon, or I've been duped in some way, generally the CPA comes to your rescue. I went through the list of car matters before I came here, just trying to get an overarching picture of how things worked. And we have one client who unfortunately caused the harm to the vehicle that she was complaining about herself. It was a question of not topping up the water when the engine, when the vehicle overheated. You must just do that immediately. But for all of the other clients that have contacted us over since 2013, when I started the firm, we've had a consumer law solution for them.
Wow. Okay. That tells you the law is on your side and it's worth pursuing. Mm. I mean, Trudy, this case is still ongoing. Where do you go to now? Because you're sitting in this weird position of having two conflicting DECRA reports 4 months apart. Mm-hmm. Your client adamant he didn't cause the damage. The dealership saying, well, we bought the car on faith with a clear certificate. So where do you go next?
Mm-hmm. So the dealership is liable, but they haven't come to the party. So what we've done for the client is to lodge a claim with the National Consumer Commission. We've spoken about that earlier. And with a view to claiming the full purchase price back before the National Consumer Tribunal. So how it works is that the National Consumer Commission, which is a government body, so they do the work free of charge, investigate the matter. One needs to push them on a regular basis to make sure that they don't lose your file and that they do really do the investigation. But it's possible, over a period of months, they will then refer the matter to the National Consumer Tribunal. And before the tribunal are fabulous. They really have a heart for consumers. There are proper lawyers sitting on the panel. And the outcomes are almost invariably really something one can rely on. And they have the right to order. They can impose a huge fine up to R1 million on any supplier who doesn't comply with the act, and they can order a refund. They can order. They have a whole variety of orders that they can make. But I think in this case, we're very confident that we'll have success at the tribunal.
Well, I'll ask you please to keep us posted, Trudy. I'd love to be able to give some feedback to our audience when you reach that point. So please let us know and we'll bring you back in to Consumer Talk, even if it's a quick phone call during Wendy's normal segment, to let us know what the outcome of was from this case, because I really think it is one that sends up a lot of red flags for people who are in a very vulnerable position of spending a large amount of money, what for many people is their biggest purchase.
Yes.
Who are looking for reassurances that maybe aren't quite as solid as they thought they might be. Trudy Brookman, it's been a delight having you with us today. Thanks for doing such a great job standing in for Wendy. Can I leave our audience with your contact details if somebody is listening going, well, I've got a case just like that and Trudy sounds like the lawyer I need to find in my corner. How do they find you?
For sure. All our details are on our website. It's www.brookman.co.za. Google Trudy Brookman, you'll find me.
Thanks again for joining us, Trudy.